point out, although Rav Kook had mentioned that the idea of Yisada Adam Tfilosoi, right, Shvachoi Shel Mokom, V'acharkach Tfilosoi, the idea was so as not to misunderstand the effect of tefillah as being on Hashem's rotzon, as opposed to understanding it as being on yourself, which was the view of Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikrim. But just don't, let's not forget that it's not just a mechanistic way of self-improvement. It's also, as Rav Kook said in the previous paragraph that we looked at, it's also an expression of the neshama's desire to have a contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and to be mispalel all the time, and to have to make contact with its creator and with the source. So it's in other words, there's both aspects, right? Don't lose sight. When we have the emotional connection through tefillah, we shouldn't lose sight of some of the philosophical issues, and we have the philosophical issues, shouldn't lose sight of also the spiritual or the emotional aspect as well. And it's important to keep that in context. Had Rav Kook only said this, it'd be very dry, much like the Sefer Ikrim. It's like a very dry, mechanistic type of tefillah. Whereas, in fact, it's more than that. Okay, it's a communication, and it's an expression of love. So that's also something to keep in mind. Okay. So now at the bottom of the page, he's now explaining like a very famous statement. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Eliezer Oimer ha'oset tefilasoi kva, ein tefilasoi tachanunim." So if he makes his tefillah kva, I guess that means permanent or set, unchanging, it's not considered a supplication. It's not tachanunim. Okay. So my kva, Amar of Yaakov bar Idi, Amar of Oshia, kol she tefilasoi doima alav kemasui. So the first definition of keva is that it's a burden. Lifnei atfila, tzarich lios tzir hanefesh kilu hu nechleshes mimasa kadrus harayonos. Before we come to daven, the image in the soul has to be that I am actually, on the contrary, carrying burdens now, which I want to actually relieve myself of by the tefillah. So it's the exact opposite of tefillah as a masui, means that I'm now taking a burden upon myself by davening. Rav Kook is saying that the meaning here is that it should be understood as I'm unburdening myself through tefillah. Very interesting perspective. That's how you have to look at it. Like, as opposed to, I have to daven now, right? As opposed to, as opposed to a feeling that now I can actually unburden myself. Sometimes, I have close friends. I don't speak to them that often. But, you have a feeling sometimes you just want to rant to someone about something. I mean, I get this often, right? But you finally, you have an opportunity to speak to someone who you can really relate to, who can listen, and you can freely speak, right? Permission to speak, sir, right? And you can freely do so, right? So there's an unburdening. So that's what he's saying is the exact idea of tefillah, as opposed to doima alav kamasu, is antithesis. Harachoyki mimusage ashleimus v'or pnei melech chayim. Right. In other words, the person is burdened. That's actually a continuation. But he's burdened with all these things which are ideas and thoughts and worries and stuff which make him distant from the light of Hashem. V'rak b'zois tigol ma'al libo hamasa sheichaber leh. It's only through tefillah that he can actually relieve his heart of the burden that is on it. Because we can pour out you pour it out to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting. Remember, Nachman of Breslov says that a person should really speak to Hashem. Also aside from the set fillers, there's also like just to speak to Hashem. I remember Rav Nachman Bulman, Oliver Sholem. I don't know if anyone's heard of him. He actually studied at YU as a Gera Chosid, and he established a community in Israel, and he was a Rebbe at Or Hasameach for many years. Very interesting man, right? Yeah. Just from that background, you can see he's interesting. Right? So, he used to regularly cry during Shira, and give Shira, say something about Churban, and burst into tears. It was like, when I was in Toronto working for Osmar, so the Rav there was Uziel Malevsky, Oliver Sholem, who had cancer. And when I got there, I went there because he had cancer, so they needed someone else. And so I was in the I was visiting him, Rav Maleski, together with a good friend, Rabbi Rothman, Avram Rothman, and we hear someone talking in the next room. We were there with Rav Bulman. We hear in another room someone's talking to someone, right? Like, it literally sounded like someone was talking to someone. And I look in there, it's Rav Bulman talking to. There's no one else in the room. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like you know, I'm talking to you now. So he's, but it was I just felt that he was talking to, right? He wasn't just like talking to himself like people on the street in Manhattan all the time, right? But rather he was literally felt like he was talking. So that's the idea, and it's actually unburdening the self as the Gemara, right? As we say, shivchi kamayim libeich noichach pnei Hashem, right? It's like pouring it out. So he says that is the idea of it should not be kva. That's to say that it will also encourage him and give you and transform from depression into happiness and joy. Instead of the person understanding the purpose of tefillah is to actually relieve the soul of its burdens and to give to it strength and courage, he feels that tefillah is now a further burden upon his soul. This is not complete tefillah. It has to come from an inner desire as opposed to from an external compulsion. If the reason he's davening is solely because there's an external compulsion to do so, that's considered doima alav kamasui. So, you know, you'll ask, but there is a mitzvah. There's a chiyuv in halacha to daven, right? So the truth is, there are many chiyuvim in halacha where the idea is the halacha or the mitzvah wants you to act in accordance with a natural feeling. Example, remember Shlomo Fischer brings this example, like, you know, obviously, it says mitzvah lekabelos kol adam b'seva panim yafois. You should greet everyone with a pleasant demeanor, smile. Right, but obviously, you walk into the Beis Madrash and you say, "Harini muchum zum kaim tzasheh for abonon shel kabalos," you know, "pnei chaverah b'seva pani yafos." Hi, how are you? Is not the meaning here. The meaning is that Chazal wants you to cultivate a sense of, you know, a joy in seeing another person and giving them joy and smiling and, you know, "Good morning" and "How are you" and so on and so forth. Right, so it's not that it should be. I mean, like a brisker might do it that way, you know, but that's no offense to any brisker. I know we're a brisk here, but ideally, it should be done as an expression of inner desire. Something like the Rambam in Perek Shishi in the Shmoina Prakim, where he says that he draws a distinction between the person between mitzvahs which don't really have an obvious reason. Where those, Chazal say, you should say, "I'd like ham," but Hashem said not to. Versus mitzvahs, where they're understandable, like theft, you know, murder, violence, etc., etc., where a person should not say, "Oh, I'd love to beat him to a pulp," but Hashem said not to. No, right, there it should be something you incorporate into your character. So Rav Kook is saying, I mean, where would you classify tefillah? Where would the Rambam put tefillah? I don't know. Right? Would he put it under the prohibition against pepperoni pizza, or would he put it under the obligation of tzedakah? Right? So Rav Kook puts it, I guess, under the chiyuv of tzedakah, so to speak. Right? That it's something which one should cultivate the natural feeling, and that's what should prompt the person to daven. So that's the first pshat, first gemara, is kamasui. Rabbonan Amre. The second is kol she'eina oimra beloshen tachanunim. If you don't say it as a supplication, what does that mean? Afilu matzal ovavoi misrageish liyos chafetz betfila mitzad hergesh mima. Even if you do want to pray, there is a desire that you want to daven. Mikol makom kol shelo yasim levavo ki'im lemalois hergesh apnimi levado. If your only purpose is to satisfy that inner desire. Ein ze adayin yisoid hatzvila. That's still not the ideal tefillah. Shetzar shetia avoidas Hashem, because ultimately it's also avoidas Hashem. So he's saying, it's like interesting that you have to have a bit of a balance. On the one hand, it has to be a fulfillment of an inner desire to pour out my heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on the other hand, if it's only that, then it's a little bit, it's about me, right? It's not about avoidas Hashem, which is also supposed to be avoidas Hashem. So how do you do both is not so, right? In other words, the motivation to daven has to be as that I want to unburden my soul. So I could unburden my heart, take off the burden. But on the other hand, I also have to express the idea that I want to be an Eved of Hashem.
Isn't that the idea that it's like smiling at people and you should incorporate that into your being, that I want to unburden myself? Isn't that the mitzvah?
It is.
What's lacking?
Because he's saying there's an additional component of tefillah here. It's not only the unburdening of the soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also being an Eved Hashem. So what does it mean being an Eved Hashem? So the Rambam tells us there's Shvach, there's Bakosha, and there's Hoda'a. So all of those are different ways of approaching Hashem as the King. Right? He's Melech Al-Kiso, he's on the throne, so I praise him. Bakosha is I understand that everything depends upon him, so I ask of him. And Hoda'a is I'm thankful that he is indeed the King. So those are all components, which one component of them is that in each case I am setting myself up as an eved klape the master, right? As a loyal subject to the king. So he says, if it's only about I need this because I need to unburden myself, then it's missing a component. That's what the Rabbanon are saying. I'm not sure if they're arguing or they're just adding something. Right, the Rav Kook, huh?
The idea that it's like self-serving? I mean,
to some degree, yeah, exactly. To some degree, it's a bit self-serving. Like, I think I mentioned to you my friend's haiku, I think it's a haiku. Don't know how you define those, but that he says, even when I work on humility, it's still all about me. So Rav Kook is saying there's got to be a little bit of the other side as well. There's got to be both, right? It's complex. You know, there can be multiple motivations for doing one thing, right? It's not always one idea. There's just, let's finish the paragraph. He says, we may not do it. Tzarshi akir shar hergesh hu emtsa'i nachon lahamid matzav nasho v'rayoinav ba'ofen na'er l'tfilah. He has to understand that inner feeling, he wants to unburden his soul, is a motivation to get him to do the avoidas ha'tfilah. Aval ikra, but the essence of it, Hinale mikol rikshos nefesh adam, is actually above human emotions and feelings. Ki utachanunim lifnei Hashem yisbarach lahafik ritzona. It's actually supplication before Hashem to fulfill the rotzon Hashem. So in other words, yes, the desire is to unburden myself, and that's what motivates me to get up and daven properly. But part of the davening is, and an essential part of the davening is, that I am fulfilling the rotzon Hashem, that I should be his servant, his eved. And that's why it's called avoidas atfila, avoidas Hashem. Okay, and he says al ken tzarich la'omer b'loshen tachanunim ulotzay b'zeh sa'emes kamakatan hu erech rikshus levav enosh neged tachlis hanala shel hafakat ratzon Hashem shu bal yedei tefila. And he has to also understand that there's a desire of Hashem that we should daven, and I want to fulfill Hashem's ratzon, and that's and my feelings, right, are minor compared to that idea. So we have to talk about this more, but it's almost like a contradiction in some sense. Right? He's just saying that one part of it is to get you there, and once you're there, what do you do? So I think that's the key to it. So okay, we'll see you tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem. Have a great day.